Welcome to this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Friday, April 22nd, 2022. The Indiana Hoosiers defeated the Nebraska Cornhuskers tonight by a score of 8-7. After the game, the media caught up with head coach Jeff Mercer, right-handed pitcher Jack Perkins, and third baseman Josh Pine.
The seventh, his pitch count's still in a good enough spot, and he's still his stuff is still there, and he's still the best guy for us in that moment. Now, obviously, he gets to 120 pitches, and now we're gonna get that guy out of there. But under 100 pitches going into the inning, he wants the ball. His stuff's still really good, still 92, 95. But we're gonna trust him to go out and execute pitches. Got a 1-2 count, hits him with a cutter, got an infield bleeder, and a three-run homer. And so, at that point, you get him out. But I felt good. I trusted him, and he wanted the ball there in the seventh as well.
The decision is probably one that is a little bit easier to make considering it's Jack Perkins, but how often is that decision on you? Is it on Dustin Glenn? Obviously, you take the player's opinion into consideration.
You take the players. The big thing for me is the stuff. Is he still locating the stuff? Are they getting good swings off? They weren't getting good swings off. The stuff was still really good. He still had his velocity. And then has a guy done it before? The same situation happened last weekend at Rutgers where he comes in after the sixth and says, I'm good, I want the seventh. He goes out and he rolls the seventh and did a great job. So there is a part of it where your player does, and I want the players to know they have autonomy and that I do respect them. But Jack especially has earned that respect from us. And other guys, obviously, you're taking into account the stuff and also situation. Other guys, you're kind of making more of the call as a coach. But for Jack, I trust Jack.
Pine and Tibbetts fueled the early lead. What did you see from them tonight?
They're great players. They're great players. You know, Josh comes up and doubles there in the first, and then Tibby brings around on a double. Those guys are just great players overall, but great offensive players. They're on time for fastballs, recognize off speed really well, and they've become really the heart and soul of the offense. And you know, I couldn't be more proud of them. So the same things I've seen from them all year. They're talented. They're tough. They work really hard. They're on fastball timing. If you hang an off speed pitch, they're gonna put a good swing on it, and they did. And they were terrific.
Kind of just overall with the entire freshman group, both on the mound and at the plate, we've seen a lot of impact from them, especially over the season as it's continued to grow. What have you just seen from their growth this season?
Yeah, I mean, that was the plan going into it. You know, if you want to have a great program, you have to allow great young players to play. It's just if you look across the country, how programs have built, you know, great organizations, great programs, not just one team for one year. If you want to build a great program, a great organization that lasts for a long time, you have to allow really talented young players to play and grow up, and that's what we're doing. And you're watching the benefit of that. You're watching really talented young freshmen and sophomores grow up before your eyes and before my eyes, and that's very exciting. Both currently, they can do that. If you recruit the right kids, they're tough and talented and work hard, they can have immediate success, and they can also give you long-term success. And you're seeing that right now, and it makes me very proud of them. It makes me very proud of the recruiting efforts, not just for the physical ability, but the character and the integrity and the toughness to be able to be such key contributors as freshmen. That class is terrific, and there's a lot of sophomores that are doing it as well. So very exciting for now and into the future, yes.
Matheson bunted for a single and beat the shift. Was that a spot decision, or was that something that the coaching staff was thinking about and saw in earlier at-bats, and how huge that is for then Tyler Doans to come up in?
Right. You're exactly right. I actually just talked to the team. It's the game-winning run, and you don't know which one it is. And we've talked about it a ton. You know, Midwest guys normally – don't value the bunt, right? You look at the West Coast and you look at Southern guys, especially West Coast. Midwest guys, you know, big and strong, want to hit homers, and just trying to really help them to understand the value of a bunt, the value of a small ball, the value of a two-strike approach. And so you have to trust those guys to read the moments and apply in real time. That was completely on Carter. He watched that. I mean, we've talked about it in the past, obviously, but we watched that. And if they're going to put a shift on, take your base hit. And the goal every day, but especially today, is just get to first base. Just get to first base. You know, we got a couple injuries that happens. That's part of it. But if you get to first base enough, eventually somebody on this group is good enough to tag one and score a run. And it ends up being the game-winning run there. So, you know, you saw Max Johnson lay down a nice little drag, you know, make a really tough play at first base. That advanced Bobby, put a guy in scoring position. We need to utilize those opportunities when given. You can't force it, but when given, we need to take first base when we can. And it'd be huge, you're right.
We'll take a couple more.
How's Philip Basser?
He's fine. You know, he's fine. He'll be, you know, day to day, probably for the next 3 or 4 days to a week, and just kind of have to see what the doctors say and how he's doing. But you know, he's seen the doctors and he feels good about where we're at. Obviously, for him, we have to make sure we're safe and play it safe with him. He's a tremendous player, but he'll be back, and hopefully sooner than later.
You've changed up the lineup a few times recently. What's the rationale for the change?
Really, just kind of the injury situation a little bit, and just kind of the matchups. But I'm not a huge proponent of changing the lineup a ton, unless you kind of necessity calls for it. I mean, you're looking at your last five game stats, your last 10 games, your RBI situation stats, like all those kind of things, trying to put guys in positions to be successful. And honestly, it's worked, right? Getting some of those guys in the right spots, we've kind of triggered a little bit of a run here, and it's helped. You know, the ascension of Hunter Jesse has been terrific, right? His growth has been, really the story of the last month here, and the way that he's impacted the offense in a positive way. So if you get a guy like that, he's walking more than he strikes out, hitting over 300, get him at the top, and you allow him to get on base and do damage when the guys behind him can go. So it's worked out really well for us.
You had Sharp up there after the home run was hit. What was the rationale behind sticking with Tucker, who obviously was successful there?
It really was just the Anderson and Matthews are the guys that are going to leave the yard, and they both did. And so after that, you know, Reese threw three on Sunday, through again like one in the third, whatever it was on Wednesday. If we didn't have to use him there, I didn't want to use him. And once they cleared the bases, honestly, this sounds crazy, but it's like home runs sometimes are rally killers a little bit, because now you get two outs, nobody on. Tucker's in the flow of the game. You know, you feel like he's going to throw strikes in that situation, and you hopefully can keep it in the yard and make those guys stream together. To go to Reese there would have, you know, put us a little bit behind the eight ball for the rest of the weekend, and we try to avoid that if we can. Obviously, if you have to, you have to. But, you know, Tucker was filling up here, throwing strikes. He just left a fastball over the middle, and the guy hit a homer, which surprised me. I thought, as well as Anderson hit that ball to center earlier in the day, and then the wind died down even more, I told the guys, I said, well, the good thing is you can't homer to center. So keep it away, and then next pitch, homer to center. So I jinxed us unbelievably. My hot streak continues. So, but yeah, that was the big thing. He was in the strike zone. He had landed a few off-speed pitches, and I didn't want, not that Reese was going to walk a guy or not, but the guy's already hot. He's already in the zone. Let's not come in, bring a new guy in, walk, and now all of a sudden we're bringing the go-ahead run up, with the new guy trying to get settled into the game. That was kind of the conversation behind it.
Jack, really good outing tonight. What did you have working for you?
Yeah, I think last 2 weeks the biggest key has just been landing my off-speed pitches. I think when teams can get so focused on one pitch, it's really easy for them to isolate that pitch and get better swings off. So tonight, you know, I was just really going into it, planning on mixing them up good. You know, using both sides of the plate with the fastball. Obviously, I have the two different fastballs, the four-seam and the sinker. The four-seam was getting a lot of swing and miss tonight. And then just being able to land the breaking ball off of it, I think that was kind of the key for me.
Aside from the pitches working and locating your pitches, you know, right at the get-go of the game, you're accumulating strikeouts. Is there a mentality that you had in terms of the way that you attacked hitters?
Yeah. I know. I think getting 0-1 is the biggest key for me. You know, I think I have good enough stuff even when I'm 2-0 to come back and getting out. But when I'm 0-1, that's when you'll see I'm rolling and getting ahead of guys, getting a lot of ground outs, and getting into those strikeout situations. You know, I think that's why you'll see I have a lot of strikeouts early on in my outings, because I'm consistently getting into those counts. And when I can do that for the duration of an entire outing, you know, I'm gonna be really successful. So just getting strike one, taking each pitch at a time, and having that mentality.
I think there's five times in Nebraska had runners in scoring position when you were out there. Does that sort of change up what pitches you're going to throw in certain scenarios with guys on base?
I mean, to an extent, but at the same time, I think if you get away from your mentality coming into the game, it can kind of affect you in a negative way. So for me, you know, as a matter, if nobody's on or if guys are, the bases are loaded, I'm going right at guys, and I'm going to use my stuff because I trust my ability and I trust the way my pitches move that I can get anybody out in the country. So I don't think it really affects me too much.
That mentality has probably followed you as you've ascended to the number one starter role. What has that done for your confidence this year?
It's huge. And that was a big thing for me when I transferred that I really wanted to grab a hold of. I think a huge part of that is just being able to recognize the areas, you know, as a pitcher, as a person in life that you really need to improve on, grabbing them and, you know, making a decision to be better in those areas. So for me, from the beginning of the fall, that's been a huge focus for me, is getting good confidence back, and it's beginning to pay off for me, which I'm really happy about.
So it's 2 weeks in a row when you've gone near 120 pitches and pretty much maintained your stuff throughout. What is it that's allowing you to be able to do that?
I think a lot of it is just the preparation that our coaching staff has implemented. Our strength coach, Chris Virtue, he does an awesome job preparing us each week, making sure we get our lifts in, maintaining our strength. And it allows you to go along late in the year like this. This is what you build up for. And now that we're here, you know, this is what I have to do each week. And I think our coaches have done a great job in preparing me for that role and be able to go that long into outings.
Take two more.
Towards the end, that three-run home run, you just look really disappointed on the mound. Can you just take us through, you know, what you're thinking?
Yeah. I mean, you go six scoreless and you go into that seventh. And the biggest thing for me is just not letting the other dugout get momentum. Obviously, the competitive nature in me wants to go that seventh and get through it. And last week I did. I go back out there this week with the same mentality, same thought process, you know, thinking I'm going to get through it. And some unfortunate things happen, and, you know, the three-run homer happens. And that's part of baseball. You know, that's the failure side of it that you have to be able to overcome and get through. But, no, I don't regret going back out there. I think it was the right decision. I just gotta be better and focus in a little bit better that last inning and get through it.
Josh, with that three-run home run, you took a few steps and then you slowed down your pace and you watched it go. What were you thinking during that at-bat and, you know, once you hit it?
You know, I got down two strikes pretty early in that at-bat, so I was just trying to, you know, make the most of it. And there were a couple runners on, runner in scoring position, and so I was just really trying to do my job and take the ball the other way, just sticking to our approach that Coach Mercer preaches, and the ball just ran in, and I just was able to get my barrel to it. So it was worked out pretty well.
Josh, you've been a part of a pretty impressive freshman cohort this season. What is the performance that you guys have had from a first-person perspective? What kind of impact has that had on the lineup and the team as a whole?
You know, I think that with Brock and Carter in the lineup and now Max, it's sorry, guys. But, no, it's a threat. There's, like, Brock has a really good bat. Carter has a really good bat. And so they have to play as – They have to shift us. They have to play back on the wall, which opens up spots for other people on the team. They have to pitch us differently now. And so I think it really does help the lineup and help what pitches other guys are seeing.
There was an interesting play early in the game where there was a ball kind of hit in between you and Max. And you ended up you were going for it, but then deferred to him. Can you kind of tell us how that communication works?
Yeah, so it was a ball that was more in the six hole, and I think for me to get to it, I would have had to, you know, dive or slide. And I just thought, you know, and he said I got it, so I just thought, you know, he had a better chance of backhanding it and using his arm to get the out. So I just kind of stopped and got down to where he could throw it over me, just kind of give him the best shot to make the play. It was a hard play, and I thought he made a really good play on it and just throw a little bit high. So. But I was really proud of it.
That'll do it for this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. The Indiana Hoosiers and the Nebraska Cornhuskers are back at it again in Game 2 of the series, Saturday at 2 p.m. See you at the BART.